In 2013, Barack Obama once said at a Planned Parenthood event, "Thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you," quote unquote. Well, we're not going to talk about Barack Obama, but we are going to talk about Cecile Richards, the object of the former president's affections. She was the head for years of Planned Parenthood. She has now announced that she's going to be stepping down. We're going to talk about this right now on Focal Point with Dr. Paul Kanger, a returning guest who is a best-selling author, and he is a professor of history and also political science at Grove City College. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Focal Point. Paul, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. Anytime.
Sure. Now, you wrote an article called God Bless You, Cecile Richards, and it just, the title almost like blew me away, but I understood it, you know, in the context of this, you know, love fest between Obama and the pro-abortion forces. But we don't want to focus on Obama. We want to focus on Cecile Richards.
Yeah. Well, you know, I found out, I guess it would have been Wednesday evening, right? I found out that she was stepping down. And I thought, Jerry, I thought, yeah, I know I need to write something on this, right? And, you know, what could I write about Richards that, you know, that other people aren't writing? And I thought for a little bit, prayed about it a little bit. And after a couple of hours, it hit me. I remembered that moment when Barack Obama, April 26, 2013, spoke to the Planned Parenthood annual event, annual banquet. And I remember him saying, "Thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you." Mm. And I remember him praising Cecile Richards to the hilt on that occasion, and her blushing as he was praising her. And I thought, you know, I want to remind everybody of that moment. And I especially wanted to remind everybody of that moment because here you had America's first black president, right, Jerry?
Uh-huh.
And America's first black president doing more than any other president in all of history, black or white, to advance and get the public to subsidize,
yeah,
and push and foster abortion, which has disproportionately killed,
yeah,
more unborn African-American babies.
Yep.
In Planned Parenthood clinics that are disproportionately located closer to black communities,
yep,
than,
yep,
to white communities.
Yep.
And it just the cruel irony of it, the outrageousness of it. And there he is, "I love you." The girls are shouting in the audience, "I love you." He shouts back to them. It's this mutual love fest.
Yeah.
And it's just it's like something out of the Screwtape Letters.
Yeah, but it's a love fest, but it's centered around the sacrificing of little unborn babies.
Right, right. Yeah, it's really you know, we've talked in the past about how like abortion is like a holy sacrament in the feminist church,
yeah,
right? At the altar of abortion. And I've said that before and had liberals just recoil and go, "Oh, how can you say something like that?" Yeah. But it's to the feminist movement, it is their highest priority. And both Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton have used the term sacrosanct.
Oh.
Right? Nancy Pelosi, Roe v. Wade is sacrosanct to,
wow,
me. And it is. It's almost like it's almost sacramental to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's nothing more important. And for Obama to go there, and the exact quote that he said to Cecile in April 2013, I have it right in front of me. He said, "Cecile, thank you for the warm introduction. Thank you for the outstanding leadership that you've shown over the years. You just do a great, great job." And at that moment, Jerry, if you hear the audio, you know, the women are all applauding, right? And then he says, "I want to thank all of you for the remarkable work that you're doing day in and day out. And we are truly grateful to you." And this great, great job, this remarkable work for which Obama is truly grateful, under Cecile Richards' tenure and 12 years at Planned Parenthood, it's about 4 million abortions.
Mm.
About 4 million abortions, probably a third to maybe a half of which were African-American babies.
Wow.
Barack Obama was there because his mom, who got pregnant out of wedlock, didn't abort him. It was pre-Roe v. Wade. Cecile Richards was there because her mother, Ann Richards, the late Texas governor, she chose to give her daughter life in 1957, pre-Roe versus Wade, so that they could all come together here in 2013 and slap each other on the back and shout hosannas and I love you to one another over the common cause of abortion. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Cecile Richards' salary at Planned Parenthood, where, you know, 300,000 some abortions every year for each of her 12 years, she was making $600,000 a year, $600,000 a year as head of that organization. The whole thing is just sick, really sick. And I think, frankly, the whole thing is flat out diabolical.
Mm. Yeah, which is amazing in light of the statement, quote unquote, God bless you.
Yeah.
Think about that. Well, why don't you comment on that?
Yeah,
that seems sacrilegious to me.
Yeah, God bless you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you. And yeah, it does. I mean, to bring God into this at all, I mean, God does not bless this. You know, I don't ever want to be one to try to speak for God, but I mean, I'll go out on not much of a limb here and say I think God probably isn't real happy with 300,000 abortions per year being done at Planned Parenthood. And also to double down on the African American element of this.
Yeah.
This is an organization that was founded by Margaret Sanger, and Margaret Sanger preached the gospel of race improvement. She talked about people as human weeds, imbeciles, idiots, morons. Those are the words that she used. She had a Negro project. And in May 1926, she spoke to the women's chapter of the KKK in Silver Lake, New Jersey. And we know about that speech, Hal, because she writes about it in her memoirs,
mm-hmm.
published in 1938, pages 366 to 367. She talks about speaking to the Silver Lake, New Jersey chapter of the women's chapter of the KKK. And in there, Jerry, she talks about the white hoods, the burning crosses. She witnessed all of this. She watched all of this while they kept her waiting and waiting. And then she finally came out and spoke, and she spoke for hours. She was such a hit, and there were so many questions, she said, that quote, 12 additional speaking offers, quote unquote, were proffered to her that very evening by the Klanswomen in the audience. They loved her that much. She was there so late, she was such a hit in speaking to the KKK, Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, that she missed her train back to New York that evening. And all of this is in her memoirs. And now today, Planned Parenthood, oh, well, they must distance themselves from Margaret Sanger. No. Today, and you go to their website, Planned Parenthood's highest honor is its annual Sanger Award, mm-hmm. which was given, I think, in 2014 to Nancy Pelosi. It was given in 2009 to Hillary Clinton, who glowed when she received the award. She said, I am in awe of Margaret Sanger. And the first Margaret Sanger Award, and I'm not making this up, it's at their website, in 1966 was given to a fellow by the name of Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, let me point something out. I talked to Eric Scheidler one time, who's a walking encyclopedia on all things related to Planned Parenthood, and I asked him about that, and he said it should be pointed out, just as a matter of fact, that 1970 was the year that Planned Parenthood started to actually do abortions. So they were amenable to it. And Alveda King has said that he didn't go there. I guess he did send his wife to receive the award,
yeah.
But he personally didn't. And she said that in light of his overall philosophy of life, Planned Parenthood does not fit with Martin Luther King Jr.'s, the overall tenor of his work. But
Well, she claims that he would not have supported abortion. And which may be true, I don't know. It probably is true, but even if it's pre Roe versus Wade, it's still post, right? Margaret Sanger's Negro Project.
Yeah.
Her 1926 speech to the Silver Lake, New Jersey women's chapter of the KKK, which was written about in her 1938 memoir, which was published by, I think it was Prentice Hall. It was like one of the top five New York publishing houses. It was years after she had talked about race improvement. So, Planned Parenthood wasn't known then for abortion, which is what it's really known for now. But back then, Margaret Sanger was very much affiliated with, connected to her bad views on race.
Yeah.
So really, in some ways...
So he should have disavowed it, of course. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, he should have, but, you know, if he even knew. And
if he knew,
this.
Yeah.
Yeah, most liberals don't know any of this stuff. And when I tell them the stuff about Margaret Sanger, they just start yelling at me, right? What are you, a racist? What?
No. In fact, Margaret Sanger even wrote in a letter, you know, what we need to do is find, you know, articulate Negroes. I mean, I'm paraphrasing her, but she did use the word Negro to kind of make apologies for us so that people won't realize that we basically want to exterminate them. I mean, she's basically saying that,
yeah.
You know,
in fact, the exact quote there,
it was a
December 10th, 1939 letter to Dr. Clarence Campbell of the Eugenics Society. And I hand that out in one of my classes at Grove City College.
Man, I would love to take one of your classes. You're the best. All right, go on.
Well, my students actually read the documents, right?
Yeah.
They actually know this stuff, and they're discussing the Negro Project, and she wrote this. I have it right in front of me. Quote: this is Sanger to Dr. Clarence Campbell. We do not want word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population.
There it is.
And the minister is the man who can straighten out the idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members, unquote.
Oh.
Now, let me tell people listening right now, if you find a liberal who's familiar with this letter, and 9 out of 10 won't be because they don't learn any of this stuff because they don't read stuff that they disagree with, but if you find one that does, they might say something like, well, what Sanger is saying there is we don't want word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population because, in fact, we don't want to exterminate the Negro population, right?
No, brother.
We don't want to be misinterpreted. We don't want to be misconstrued. But on the other hand, you'll get critics of Margaret Sanger who will say, no. She's saying here they don't want word to get out because they don't want the word to get out because they do want to exterminate the Negro population. After all, she had a Negro project. You know, look at some of her ideas.
Yep.
Look at some of her views, and you could try to make either argument. The letter itself doesn't give you the full answer, but the letter is within the context of the Negro Project. So, at the very least, let me put it this way: if Margaret Sanger was a conservative, right, you think liberals would be this charitable? Oh, well, I think she doesn't really mean that this is in a racial context. I mean, imagine if a letter like this existed from Ronald Reagan, right, or Donald Trump, or the founder of the NRA. Whoa, what a racist this guy is. And then we'd say, well, this doesn't necessarily mean that he wants to exterminate. What do you mean it doesn't? What are you, a racist? You know, they would never be this charitable if the shoe was on the other foot.
Wow. All right, we have half a minute to wrap up here, and I wanted to ask you about something you wrote in your column about this. Cecile is now 60 years old. Her vibrant face of a decade ago looks worn not by age but by guilt.
Yes.
Surely by the torment of an inescapably guilty conscience. Just comment on that in about 30 seconds.
Yeah, she's a pretty woman, and you know I've noticed that in the past, and in the last few years her face just seems worn, and people say, oh, that's a comment about her looks. No, I don't mean it. I don't mean it in the context of age. She looks worn down, like she's carrying a guilt to me. Like I've seen this with people who are engaged in really bad things and bad movements. You can start to see it on them, no matter what their age, no matter what their looks prior to. She just seems to me. I just see in her. Maybe I'm reading into this too much, but she has the literal look to me of somebody who's really been racked by what she's gone through. And how can you not?
Yeah.
Overseeing an organization where you're getting paid over $500,000 a year.
More.
To do over 300,000 abortions per year.
Wow.
And I say in the article that if she'd have 13 more years of life ahead of her, that's 4,745 days, she could begin an hour of repentance for each of those 4 million victims snuffed out in the womb by her organization. And then I thought about it, Jerry. Come to think of it, do the math. that wouldn't even begin to be enough hours to account for 4 million victims, not even close. And that gives you an idea of just how big of a number 4 million abortions really is.
Dr. Paul Kanger, Grove City College, visionandvalues.org. For more information, Paul, thank you. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
All right. Bye-bye.